Here's another message from Pastor Peter Shirley from Life Christian Church.
I want to encourage you today that we have to make a personal decision in regards to what we do with Jesus. Each one of us has to make a personal decision in regards to what we do with the person of Jesus. We either reject him, dismiss him, ignore him, try to push him away, or we accept and receive him. I don't know where you fit into any of those categories this morning, but what I do know, that as I know the vast majority of people sitting here this morning, is there are incredible testimonies of how God has, in very real and tangible ways, miraculous ways, supernatural ways, revealed himself to be so real to the vast majority of us sitting here this morning, that we know that we know that we know that Jesus is real, that we know Jesus is who he said he was. And in resolving that question, what do I do with Jesus? We've got to draw certain conclusions about the person of Jesus. But let me preface all of this by giving us an understanding of what the Bible has to say about Jesus. Because the reality is, Jesus is just not part of a big spiritual smorgasbord where there's all these kinds of options available to us and they're all good. And that's a common universalist kind of thinking in our world today, that everything, it's all many, many ways lead to God. But here's what it says in John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, actually speaking directly of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. We jump to Colossians 1 and 16. By him, all things were created. Again, we're speaking about Jesus here. Things in heaven, things on earth, whether visible or invisible, whether thrones or powers, whether rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So this is what the Bible has to say about the person of Jesus Christ. So in trying to resolve the question within each one of us, what do I do with Jesus? It's important that we understand, have a clear understanding of who Jesus is, so that we can actually adequately answer that question. Because again, you find all kinds of opinions about Jesus and all kinds of wonderful comments and wonderful compliments that people pay to Jesus. And we sing lots of carols about the baby Jesus at this time of year. But the Bible tells us Jesus is actually pre-existent to all things. Jesus is the source of all things. The Bible clearly teaches us about the deity of Jesus. What do I mean by that? We come to understand from Scripture, through verses like this and many, many others, that Jesus Christ is actually God. That's what I believe. It's what the Bible teaches. So in beginning to answer the question, what do I do with Jesus? We have to understand Jesus' person. We have to understand his identity. According to Scripture, Jesus is God. And in fact, many of the claims that Jesus made and many of the things that Jesus had to say are incredibly strange if Jesus was not God. Let me give you some examples, because these are bizarre things to say if Jesus wasn't God. We have this account in John 8 and 23. This is Jesus speaking to a group of people. And he says, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world." I would suggest many of us are quite familiar with that passage, and so we don't actually give it a second thought, but let me bring it up to date and bring it into context. Suppose I bumped into you in the street, you're a total stranger, and I asked you, "Oh, where are you from?" And you say, "Oh, I'm from Alston." "Oh, Alston, where's that?" It's in Tasmania. Oh, Tasmania, where's that? It's in Tasmania. It's in Australia. Australia, okay. Yeah, oh, good. Yeah, I know where Australia is. So what you're saying is you're from down here. Yeah. What do you mean I'm from down here? Well, I'm not from down here. I'm from up there. What would you think of me if that's what I said to you? Now, hold that thought in your head and we'll share something else Jesus said. John 8 and 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I am here. I've not come on my own, but he sent me. So, back to the conversation in the street. I've just told you that I'm not from down here, I'm from up there. I then go on to say, if you still haven't run away at this point, I go on to say then, listen, you're from down here, that's cool, I'm from up there, that's all good. But listen, can I ask you another question? Before you were born, did you have a discussion with your father about where you were going to be born? You would say, you probably would be backing up. No, I didn't have a discussion with my father before I was born. Oh, okay. So you didn't have any discussions with your father before you were born? No, I didn't. Why not? Well, because I wasn't born yet. So I didn't have a discussion with my father before I was born. What are you saying? Well, let me tell you, I actually had a discussion with my father before I was born, and he told me where I would actually be born. He told me to come. My father told me to come. What would you think of me if that was how the conversation started turning? Let me share something else that Jesus said. John 8 and 51. I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. So we're having this conversation on the street, total random stranger. Oh, you're from down here. Well, I'm from up there. And I had a discussion with my father before I was born and he told me to come. And not only that, but if you believe every single thing that I tell you, if you follow, if you're solely focused on the things that I tell you to do and you do those things, you will never die. Merry Christmas. See you later. Would you believe me? Would you trust me? Something else Jesus said just a couple of verses after that. John 8 and 58. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. Now, that's not even good grammar. Before Abraham was born, you know what he's actually doing? He's actually using the name God gave to himself. I am. Yahweh, Jehovah. And what he's saying is this. Before Abraham was even born, as we looked at in those opening passages, I am. Present tense. I was already there. Abraham was born probably a couple of thousand years before this conversation took place. So, back to our conversation. Supposing I go on to ask you the question, so when were you born? And you said, well, I'm 34, work it out. Well, that's interesting, 34. Okay, that's good. Just out of interest, and I'm going to hate asking this question, when were you born? Glad you asked. Have you heard of Captain Cook? Mm-hmm. Well, before Captain Cook ever sailed and discovered Australia, actually before that, before any of the Aborigines first set foot on this continent, I was already here. Can I say these kinds of statements are really, really strange? Don't be surprised as you read through the gospel accounts of Jesus' ministry, people did get confused by some of the things Jesus had to say. The things Jesus had to say didn't always make sense. So here's the question. Here we are living 2,000 years after these discussions took place. Why hasn't Jesus been dismissed as some kind of eccentric, mad, itinerant Jewish preacher? I mean, he said stupid things. This is crazy stuff. So surely, in the day and age in which we live, somebody making such claims, the record of his life, at best, should be buried in some obscure religious or historical text. Surely that's all he deserves. But he's not. He's not. Instead of Jesus being an obscure footnote in history, he is still center stage. Why does Jesus today still possess so much power and influence? If you look at the laws and constitutions of any Western nation, all based on the Word of God. Here we are, right in the middle of the Christmas season. Who's center stage? The world transforms. The world absolutely transforms at Christmas time. This Christmas season is one of the most defining celebrations of Western culture. And it's gone well past those boundaries now. If you go into any Asian city at this time, they do it bigger than we do. It's incredible. Jesus still possesses such power and influence that over 2,000 years after his birth, he still closes schools, he still closes shops, he closes businesses. We call it Christmas and he gives us a holiday. In a few months' time, we'll get a mini holiday. We call it Easter. Jesus does it all over again. But here's the question. Going back to my original question, we've got to make our mind up about what we do with Jesus. What is it we are actually celebrating? What is it we are actually celebrating? Because to put it plainly, Jesus was either a liar or Jesus was delusional. He had some pretty major mental health issues. Or he was truth. As far as I can tell, they're the only three options. He was either bad, he was mad, or he was God. I don't think you can have it any other way. I always think of a girl that I met after a high school assembly many years ago who came up to me and she said, "Oh, I loved what you had to say. Wasn't Jesus a good man?" And I'm thinking, "Oh, there's something coming here." She says, "I'm Baha'i." I said, "Oh, cool, hi." Baha'i faith, it is universal. It's just embracing everything. Everything's good. And wasn't Jesus a good man? Wasn't Jesus a good man? In actual fact, if he was just a man, no, he wasn't, because good men don't make the kinds of claims Jesus did. Jesus said some other strange things in the course of his ministry that actually could have exposed him to be a fraud. He warned people a number of times during the 3 years of his ministry. Remember, he was only 3 years in the public spotlight in the course of his ministry. During that time, he said on a number of occasions, "I'm going to go up to Jerusalem, and when I get there, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be killed, and I'm going to be buried. But don't panic. Because on the third day I will rise again. But friends, most people didn't believe him. The disciples themselves probably didn't want to believe him. But we know he was right. He was arrested. He was crucified. He was buried. Somebody obviously went to the Roman authorities and said, you know, while Jesus is alive, he said he would be raised from the dead after 3 days. So to stop his disciples going and stealing the body, to make it look like he has raised, why don't you post a guard on the tomb? You don't post a guard on a tomb to stop a dead body coming out. You post a guard on a tomb to stop people stealing the body. Pontius Pilate obviously thought that was a pretty good idea, and so it's exactly what he did, because that was the rumor going around. Anybody can make bizarre claims. Anybody could say the things that Jesus said, but can they deliver? It would be really easy for me to stand up and say, you know what? Next Friday, I'm going to die. And I'll be buried. But don't panic, because I'll be raised from the dead. The first bit will be easy. I could go and stand in front of a bus. I can drink some poison. I can sit there for days on end and have a marathon session of Star Wars. I'm sorry if you're into Star Wars. I'm like, are we not done with that yet? Dying on Friday wouldn't really be hard to accomplish. Rising on Sunday might be a little bit more difficult. And can I say there have been people that have made all kinds of bizarre claims through the years. There's a cult a number of years ago called the Breatharian cult, who believed that you only had to breathe air, you didn't have to take food or water. And they had a lot of people die. And the leaders of the cult actually went to jail. In California a number of years ago, there was the Hale-Bopp comet, and there was that weird cult that believed it was the mothership. And there was 30-odd people committed suicide because they believed that the mothership was going to take them back to their home. And again, you can make all these claims, but can you actually deliver? All kinds of people making all sorts of bizarre claims. I could stand up here and make that same claim that I'll be dead next Friday. That's the easy bit. Raising from the dead, that's the hard bit. Jesus made these statements. I'll be arrested. I'll be crucified. I'll die. I'll be buried. And I will rise from the tomb. But you know something? It's what Jesus said, and it's exactly what Jesus did. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Now, I'm sorry to disappoint you. We simply do not have the time to go into the evidence of the empty tomb. But let me say this. Because of the events that took place at that time, because the tomb was empty, our world was forever radically and totally transformed. You see it in the life of the disciples. Nothing had transformed their lives until after that time.
And when Jesus rose and when the Holy Spirit came, those guys were radically transformed. And they actually gained the reputation as men who turned the world upside down. Friends, what will you do with Jesus this Christmas? Because the resurrection of Jesus is either the greatest fraud in history or it's the greatest event in history. You cannot sit here today and have an indifferent response to Jesus. You cannot join the camp that says Jesus was a good man. Because unless he was God, he said some really inconsistent stuff that would make me think he's not a good man. Jesus and the decision you need to make was either bad, he was mad, or he was God. The resurrection of Jesus is either the greatest fraud in history or it's the greatest event in history. And can I say, we better know which one it is. Because everything about our lives, from the date we see on our watch to the laws that govern our land, are all based upon the truth of God's word that says Jesus is the Son of God. And he is alive today. God desires to have a relationship with each and every one of his children. And Jesus died to make that relationship possible. He was fully God but fully man when he came to this earth. And he paid the price when he died on that cross for anything that would otherwise keep you from a relationship with God. There's no excuse. You can't go to God and say, I'm not good enough. I'm too sinful. There's too much I'm ashamed of. I've got problems in my life. I've got addictions in my life. I've got all this stuff that exempts me from a relationship with a holy God. And God says, you're right, except for one thing. Jesus died so that you can come to me, arms open wide, as we sung earlier. You can come to me and I'll accept you and receive you just as you are because what Jesus has done for you. And friends, that's the good news of Christmas. That's the good news of Christmas. Jesus, humanly speaking, said some incredibly strange things. But for the most influential figure that has ever, ever lived and ever will live, all of those things make perfect sense when you understand the truth of who he is. Not just a babe born in a manger, but a Savior, God himself coming to this world, taking on human flesh. And yes, he was arrested. Yes, he was crucified. Yes, he was laid dead in a tomb. But on the third day, he rose again. And he's alive today. That's why we celebrate. I'm going to ask the team to come back up. And I read this at the Christmas Spectacular last year, and it's such a powerful piece. This was written at the start of last century. It's called One Solitary Life. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30, when public opinion turned against him. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never went to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things usually associated with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 and his friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today, Jesus is still the most influential figure of the human race. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned put together have not affected the life of mankind on earth as powerfully as that one solitary life. Just ask every head bowed and every eye closed, and I ask you the question, what will you do with Jesus? This Christmas, what will you do with Jesus? He's not just a good man. He's either the Son of God or he's not. And God would reach out to you this morning and say, I love you so much. I love you so much that I allowed my Son to be born into this world, that he might die as the only acceptable sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. Greatest gift. And you and I sitting here in 2017, gathering together in the name of Jesus, can celebrate, can know that we are loved, know that we're accepted, have that hope and that promise of eternal life, eternity spent with him. Jesus died to make that possible for you and I, even here today in 2017. So friends, what will you do with Jesus? Will you deny him? Will you ignore him? Will you write him off? Or will you accept him? As your Lord and your Savior.